Welcome back to the second hour of American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner with Phyllis Coy today, listeners. We'll start taking your calls momentarily. 800-313-9443 is the number. On September 16th, 1972, in Chapter 10, Political Compromise and Betrayal, by John Coy, I have been reconsidering my own position and what I ought to do. The September South African Observer reports some of the agreements between Prime Minister Smith and the British delegates. Among them are 1. Unimpeded progress of black majority rule in Rhodesia. 2. The stationing of foreign troops. 3. The ending of racial discrimination in Rhodesian schools. 4. An increase in black members of parliament so that they will eventually exceed white MPs. And 5. Coupling with the Rhodesian dollar to the British pound. These agreements would destroy the European civilization of this country. The hero of 65, Smith, was obviously succumbed to the anti-Western forces in London. And this is very, very interesting. Again, it is obvious to me that there are no politicians or governments that one can fight for or trust. The fight for Western civilization is not in the battlefield, but in the realm of the intellectual, spiritual, and psychological. As much as I would like to go on the officer's course, I may take advantage of the provisions of my contract and leave the Army before I commit myself for too many years. The Army is a good one and does a tremendous job of border patrol and control, but these qualities will be to no avail if the politicians sell out. Rhodesia was lucky to escape the last settlement plans, but there is hope, since Rhodesians are race conscious and wary of Smith. I'm still not certain just what I will do. Terrorist attacks in Rhodesia and the Portuguese territories are mounting, and the entire squadron has been called out for duty. After I complete training, I'll be seeing action before the end of the year. Although military activities are strictly defensive, the Army is supported and not hindered by the people and the government. And it goes on. There's much more to this. It's a book that everyone should have today, right now. It should be in all classrooms throughout this country, especially the home schools, because they have to learn what's going on right now as we're being inducted into the military, a mercenary military, for a college education. There's the point. It's for a college education, listeners. That is the bribing point to get your sons and daughters to join the military. If you make it out alive, you will have the benefit of a college education. How that college education will work, I'm not sure, because what are they doing in the universities? Indoctrination. What do you think of this, Phyllis?
Well, how many are going to be in shape to go to school with arms or legs off? And sick from the vaccines. And I have, if I could digress just a little bit, it all fits in, but when I was living in Alabama, first Gulf War, and I was a representative for George Riley, for the Gulf War Veterans Organization.
Right.
A friend of mine and I went to the VA there to give information to those veterans on how they could get help. And of course, I've seen firsthand the debilitating effects that they had and how sick they were, and they were put away as mental patients and told that their problems were not service-related, and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a while, it was an open-type meeting, and we had a table there with our information on, began getting the conference of the veterans. And, of course, this could not be tolerated. I think we were there maybe once a week for 6 weeks, something like that. Now, I'm a white-haired grandmother. And my little lady friend with me. And the doctor flew out of the room, come back with a security guard, and took us out.
There you have it. The mess in place, listeners. 800-313-9443 is the number to call. A Martyr Speaks, the journal of the late John Allen Coy, is our topic today. Stay with us. podcast listeners. I'm Chris Gerner with American Exposé. Chapter 19, listeners, A Martyr Speaks. Dated 24 October 1973, there has been a very sudden turn of events. Another chap and I have been removed from the officer's course. My removal is supposedly for the reason that I do not have the, quote, academic capabilities and the temperament, end quote, to become an officer. So ends another phase of my Army career. The question is what to do next. There is no purpose in going into forestry work available in Bulawayo. I cannot go home yet because my mission here is incomplete. There is still much to learn, and I must get the battle experience that will enable me to help my people when the time comes to counter the revolution. What is he meaning there, Phyllis, when he makes that statement?
I mean about countering the revolution?
Yeah.
Well, he had hoped when he got home, as I said, to get his journal published and simply to continue our efforts to get people to understand what was happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could say, revival of our civilization, of our culture, of our spiritual values, of understanding who the enemy really is. That kind of
yes.
a revolution.
Yes, and there you have it. 800-313-9443. We'll take a few phone calls, listeners. And that number, keep in mind, for the pledge is 800-724-2719. That's to pledge your support to this network, to keep it operational, keep it flowing, keep it functioning properly. 800-724-2719. The call-in number, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. We'll take Cheryl in Ohio now. Cheryl, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
Oh, Cheryl, bless your heart.
Phyllis is a wonderful, wonderful lady. And she only lives a couple hours from my husband and I. We met at Pastor Butch Paw's seminar. And I would encourage everyone who is listening to receive this book, and I just want to share a couple things here if I could. Yesterday's
Please.
Paper, our local Lake County paper where I live, for 2 days in a row talked about the amount of Marines that we have lost from the Brook Park, Ohio, and one from Mentor. Upon reading this morning's paper, we have a 17-year-old right in the city where I live who will be a senior this year who is in delayed entry program for the Marines, and he says, I don't want to do something half-hearted. He said, if it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. Corporal Christopher Fleury of the Marine Recruiting Station of Cleveland said, it takes a special kind of person now, especially post 9/11, to enlist. We also have Governor Bob Taft. Here in Ohio, only Governor Bob Taft and President Bush have the authority to order lowering American flags to the half-staff position. A representative from the next city over in me in Willowick wrote to the governor and pleaded with him to go ahead and lower the flags at half-staff. And Governor Taft will not lower it. And it's quoted here, lowering flags half-mast shows the nation is lowering its eyes and bowing its head. It means we are taking our eyes off the enemy for the moment to show respect or mourning. No, we should be showing respect or mourning regardless of what enemy combatant is out there. And next week in the city of Mentor, Ohio, they are hosting an enlistee set to start a patriotic concert, and they're the Marine recruiters will have a table set up. I mean, the youngest gentleman so far is 21 years old. One Marine that we lost from Mentor, Ohio, didn't even see his son's first birthday. We're in perilous times, and I would just encourage the listeners. I have two sons and a daughter, and 21, 19, and 18. And I would just encourage the listeners to listen to Phyllis, and I would encourage them to purchase as many books as they possibly could and get them out to, if there's anyone listening in Ohio, send them to these parents that lost their young men in an unnecessary war over nothing for money, greed, power, and oil. And you're right, we do. Homeschoolers need to read this. These need to be on library shelves. This needs to be in public education. Well, it's not public education, all right? But it needs to be there. It's important that it, especially in the public schools, but of course they have become so dumbed down, but that's a different subject in of itself. But I would plead with the listeners to please listen to Phyllis. She's a wonderful woman. She'll talk to you anytime, day or night.
Oh, Cheryl, bless your heart. Honey, I would like to follow up with this. You mentioned public schools.
Mm.
Before my husband passed away, when he was still able to get out, and we had moved back here to Ohio, and we would get in the car once a week, and we covered 215 public high school libraries, small colleges around in our rural areas, from northwest to southeast Ohio, and got the book in.
Mm. Well,
and try to reach these young people before they got recruited.
We need to send these books to these parents who have just lost their sons or daughters recently. Get these books into their hands, and along with other vital information that is out there that can be given to them. I mean, we can't even lower a flag at half staff because we have to follow protocol. There's something wrong with this situation. There's something wrong. Wouldn't you not think?
Aren't we in tragic times?
We're so in tragic times that something's coming, and if people can't feel it within their spirit being, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, if they can't feel it in their spirit man, then I don't know what to say, but there is something coming. And when we have a president, he's the only president that, how many times has he gone on vacation since he's been in presidency? 5 months? He's gone off for 5 weeks to Crawford, Texas. And on the news yesterday, they showed him with, he's got some prime minister from Colombia or something over there. And he was cutting down his branches on his ranch. I mean,
what a sick time.
This is such a sick time, and I would encourage the listeners in the state of Ohio, if you're all listening and you have flags in your yard on a flagpole, go against the grain. Where's your line in the sand? Lower your flag to half staff. Lower it. Lower it. These are our men. These are our women. These are kids. These are babies. What do they know? All they're fed is a big line of saying, well, we'll give you a college education afterwards. No more with the GI Bill. My father served, I'm 43 years old. My father went to the Army for 4 years. That was before there was anything, nothing was going on. And he came back to Cleveland. He traveled. He went to Versailles and everything, came back. And, you know, and he received the GI Bill and was able to purchase his first home on it. What are these kids getting? A college education, and like Phyllis said, with what, how are they going to sit in a college class with depleted uranium in them?
Yes.
Or the toxicity from all the vaccinations, or their arms or legs blown off? What, or they're so depressed that they can't concentrate.
No, Cheryl, you're making some pregnant points. Wouldn't you say this is a nation in distress?
We're so in distress that what does the Scripture say? The Scripture says that what would cause a man to travail so that it would bring them to their knees? What? This is the beginning of birth pangs. There is something so wicked in the air that's coming, it's not even funny.
And maybe these people with the flags on their property should, in addition to lowering them to half-mast, turn them upside down.
Turn them upside down. And if Governor Taft wants to send his goons in the area and force them to raise them up, then he has to show them in black and white where it says so. What protocol? I mean, what more? What are we going to read tomorrow? 20 more?
Or 50? Or 70?
Well, exactly. And what's going to wake up the parents? And then the parents they might tell their little Johnny or Mary or Billy and say, okay, well, you'll have to follow suit because, and what is causing these kids to get so excited to think, what do they know about picking up a gun? What do they know anything about war?
And
they don't.
And yet they teach paintball in the colleges and universities to indoctrinate them into doing it for real in the military.
Right, and little boys can't play cops and robbers on the street anymore. So what's that all about? Sit in front of the idiot box or play video games?
We'll give you a parting shot upon our return, Cheryl. And we'll continue with Phyllis Coley listeners. A Martyr Speaks, the journal of the late Alan Coley, will be available at Republic Broadcasting. Stay tuned.
For my country, for the pain that it's been through, she's been made to suffer. For the profit of a few.
Welcome back to the broadcast. A Martyr Speaks, the journal of the late John Alan Coey. 3 December 1973. Listeners, pay attention. The patrols split up and were choppered many kilometers to the east over miles and miles of forest. What a ride. The entire patrol is down with diarrhea, no doubt from the living waters we drank. We are not sure where we are. This is just one of the little inserts of his journal. Cheryl, do you have any more?
You know, everything that's going on today it makes my heart very heavy, I guess, probably patent because of being a believer.
Mm-hmm.
I would just encourage people, Phyllis, is it okay if I give them your address?
Uh-huh.
I can write to you. I would encourage the listeners to that are interested, even just to drop Phyllis a note, even if you served in the armed forces in the first Gulf War, now Vietnam, drop her a note. She would love to hear from you. Her address is Mrs. G. Period E. Period Coley, C O E Y, 6555 U.S. 68 South E 14 West Liberty, Ohio, 43357. She would love to hear from you, and she will correspond back with you. She's a sweet lady. She, too, loves the Lord. And she'll pray with you if you have a prayer request and you have sons or daughters that are contemplating this. Pick up the phone and call her. Let her be an encouragement to you, and she will help you discourage your young people from even stepping foot into a recruiter's office. Though jobs, you know, in Ohio are hard to find right now in certain things. But if you really apply yourself, you will find a job. You can go to a community college for 2 years if you choose to. But just remember, that's only a piece of paper, and a piece of paper only gets you so far. But at least this way you will be alive. Freedom is paid with a cost. Yes, it is. But the ultimate freedom that was paid was at the cross, at Calvary.
Cheryl, can you give that address again?
Yes, I will. The address is Mrs. G. E. Coey, C-O-E-Y, 6555 U.S., 68 South, the letter E and the number 14, West Liberty, Ohio, 43357.
Very, very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and have a blessed weekend.
Thank you, Carol. God love you.
Yes, yes. Very traumatic times we live in today. Very, very traumatic. History repeating itself over and over again in other parts of the world. Rhodesia, Zimbabwe now, in chaos, in utter chaos, listeners. I receive constant emails from Jan Lemprecht, AfricanCrisis.org is his website. And we see the buildup and the continuing directions that started with the freedom fighting in the early 1970s that John Coley was a part of, correct, Phyllis?
Yes. Chris, if I could, I would like to tell folks about the three different services that we had for John.
Yes.
I think they would. I mentioned that he was buried in the little town of Kwekwe, Rhodesia, where some friends of his put us up. And I mentioned that we had a full military service for him, but that was not the whole purpose for that. Our purpose was that no one would leave that funeral who had not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was the main purpose. And what the opportunity that we had, this was a small town, but we had all the local townspeople there. We had members of parliament. We had the full military. We had, and there again, this, the only purpose for this, as I said, that was an opportunity we had to witness. And then our son, Ed, he gave the scriptural eulogy for his brother. And we were very, very cautious as to who the minister would be that would give the service. And it was more than we could even have hoped for. I mean, being there and not knowing anyone. So that was the first service that we had. Then it will be 30 years, August the 16th. Then we had come home from Rhodesia, and we had a memorial service for John. Then we were living then at Hideaway Hills, Ohio, in a little country church there, and we had a beautiful memorial service there for John. Now, I move on up to 1978, because it was obvious that Rhodesia was going to fall, which it did in 1980. And we had a very, very courageous lady, Rhodesian lady, that had befriended us. And she did not want John buried there because anyone who resisted would have their graves desecrated. And she didn't want John to lie buried in a Marxist country. Fence and risk of her own life. Do we have a break, Chris?
Yeah, let's continue on the other side of the break.
Okay,
we'll
sure.
continue with the phone calls as well. 800-313-9443. Very important information we're hearing from Phyllis right now, though. And we are not going to cut her off. We'll continue on the other side. Stay with us. I'm Chris Gerner. We'll take Don and John very soon here, so bear with us. Thank you for your patience, callers. Phyllis, I want you to continue with where you left off.
Yes, well, I just wanted to mention that this dear lady, at risk of her life and at her own expense, she had John's body taken up, and sent back to Ohio, where we were living at Hideaway Hills, Ohio, and he's buried there. And now his dad's buried beside him as of last September.
Oh, wonderful. So happy to hear that. I am so happy to hear that. Don in Texas, thank you so much for your patience. I'm sorry you had to wait so long. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Don.
I wanted to say hello to Miss Coy. It was a real treat to hear her on the radio a couple of weeks ago, and especially for her to be a guest host on your show.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
I ordered that book many, many, many years ago, and it's a prized possession of my library.
Thank you.
I could just offer a hats off salute to you and your husband for raising a son so well that he went on and led his adult life, as short as it was, with meaning, purpose, and definition, and for a very, very noble cause.
Well, thank you. We were very, very blessed because we had two sons like that.
Well,
and I would ask you to please hold my son, Ed, up in prayer because, as I said, he just lost his dad this past September. He's every bit the trooper that his dad and his brother was. Now he has a very sick wife and a very sick daughter, my granddaughter.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, and
so
I will
please
do.
Please hold us up in prayer.
I will certainly do that.
Thank you.
And, wanted to mention, I think maybe I related to the text of the book quite well. I was in high school, and interested in a little something besides girls and football back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rhodesian issue popped up. And, you know, I felt a great sense of purpose for this experiment in freedom, even being a kind of a mindless 17-year-old, you might say, at the time. And to make a long story short, I attempted to go to Rhodesia, and this was in the 70s, and my dad held a pretty sensitive position in the defense industry with one of the big contractors. And it was basically quickly related to him that if I go over there, then he won't have his job anymore. And the other six kids at home, you know, I was going to put them in a heck of a predicament. So there was a lot of skullduggery behind the scenes, and I know Miss Coy can certainly relate to that.
I surely can.
And it was just, it was really sad to watch, you know, watch the country ultimately fall. And it was, you know, British intelligence had infiltrated the key positions so well by the late 70s that there really wasn't much of a chance. It's like America today. I mean, we're so eaten up from within. It's a point that we will fall.
We're just waiting the replay, aren't we?
Exactly. But Rhodesia was the last noble experiment
That's
in
right.
freedom. And it's a lesson that should be learned, and I hope everyone listening to this broadcast will get that book. And it's a very inspiring, motivating book. It's motivated me to go get it out of my library and reread it again. It's been two or three years since I last
Thank
read
you.
It. And just carry on, and I will put Ed and you on my prayer list.
Thank you. Well, you know what's the top line? The Lord's our refuge and strength.
That's right, and I know you can look forward to a wonderful reunion with the two men you've lost.
Well, you know, if I could just add to the prayer list here very quickly, because we're in some pretty tough circumstances here with the second publisher of John's Journal. They published the gratis in 1994, and that's the Christian Patriot Association Book Publishers. And as the last 3 years, they've been extremely persecuted on trumped-up charges with the IRS. And now the publisher's in a mental prison in North Carolina. His wife's in a halfway house in Oregon. And the little part-time worker that they had with them, who is a pastor of a small church, Jeffrey Weekly, and he was just sentenced a month ago, and he's been given 3 years.
Wow.
And so this is the circumstances, and they published, and I'm not saying this just because they published, you know, this journal. I mean, these people need prayer, I'm trying to get the attention of people, you know, to what's happened to these folks.
See, this is my point about all this that goes on, is we've got to concentrate on the severity of the situation at the time right now. We can't be going off into different directions of creating our individual sovereignty. We can't go off and start blaming untouchables. We've got to stay focused on the situation in place about communism, reinvented communism, communitarianism, because we have to increase our numbers. That's all there is to it. And you've got to get on certain spectrums that everyone can agree with to increase our numbers. Am I wrong when I say that, Phyllis?
Well, any one of us could be next.
There
how
you
do
go.
We know how well we'll hold up? This
Trumped-up charges. That's the point. Trumped-up
yeah.
charges.
And this little
Homeland
pastor,
Security.
Yeah, this little
Patriot Act 2.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh,
no,
sorry,
well,
go
this
ahead.
Little pastor, with this court station he was in, there was a lesbian attorney against him, and his own wife testified against him and left him. He had two children that are not teenagers yet. His parents had to come all the way from Indianapolis to Oregon and take the children to make the home for them. And people, come on. We've got to take a stand for one another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe you might have some little disagreement here and there on something, but you don't have to compromise your whole thing. You know, I mean, if we don't stand together, any one of us will be next.
We'll hang separately.
We sure will.
And this is the point. Don, what do you think of this thought?
I couldn't concur more with the both of you. So
it's very late.
I'll I'll add those things to my prayer list, Miss Coy. And
thank
you for your courage and strength through the years, and you're an inspiration to a lot of us.
Oh, thank you. Well, God bless you.
Well, thank you so much.
Don, thanks for your patience.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye now. You know, these situations that we're living today are extremely ominous to me. And as we've been brainwashed all these years, militarily, we're being injected into democracy and freedom today. Democracy and freedom, they don't work hand in hand, do they, Phyllis?
Well, they're two opposites.
Yes, there you go. They're two opposites. Democracy and freedom are two opposites, and we've been brainwashed to the point that there's very little thought of return unless we get on the same page, listeners. And that's why A Martyr Speaks, the journal of the late John Allen Coley, is reading for everyone. It's a journal. It's a work of love that John put together for his country. Patriotism was truly emanating from John Coley when he wrote this book and he wrote his journal.
Well, you know, Chris, John majored in forestry, and I think you can see all through the journal his love of God's creation.
Uh-huh.
No matter how bad anything got at the circumstances, he could always look around and see the beauty of God's creation.
Yes.
That was his life.
And that's a very good point. Good statement. Let's move to John in New York. Welcome to the broadcast, John.
Hi, how you doing? I just want to let you know what's going on with the service today. I have my oldest son, I got 9 kids, is in the service. He joined the reserves to, have some benefits, and he enjoyed the idea of helping the country and whatnot. But it ended up being a martyr on his back because they took him in for a year and a half and put him in Texas, but they never sent him anywhere, so then they sent him out. When he got out, it stopped his schooling. He wasn't able to continue schooling. He wasn't able to get a permanent job due to the fact of, no one wants to hire someone's going to be disappearing in 90 days. And trying to go to school somewhere is near impossible for that kind of time scheduling. When he got back in the service, he finally went in full time, so he had to go back to try to lock something in so he could at least have employment and that kind of thing. And he figured he'd get his education in there, and when it got said and done, he's becoming like a prison guard and was supposed to head to Cuba, but in the meantime they delayed it and they offered him a 30-day scheduling of schooling to become an officer. In the interim of becoming an officer, Cuba base was supposed to pay for it, but it became a 2-week interim of conglomerate of not functioning. So anyhow, it ended up that they reneged on paying for his education, and then he missed his flight by a week, so now he's got to pay for his own education and his own flight, and it's like over $1,500 to where they tell you they educate you and they do everything for you is just a big lie. And everything he turns around to, and after he got his anthrax shot, his face is all now burning red constantly. It's always like he's in a dead rash.
Oh, my God.
So if there's anybody that needs some telling that what goes on, and from what I've seen personally, it is not the place to be. I know in my heart, and I know from what I've seen around and what your show presents and what I've seen just physically in our area, it's just this country is definitely under duress, and I'm definitely going downtown to buy a flag and put a flagpole up and put my flag half-mast at duress and put a pile of information at the bottom of it, and people like it, that's good, and if they don't, that's too bad. And a terrific idea. And God bless you people, and keep up the good work.
I'm so sorry you've had to have this happen. But please, take one of the fathers of the Marines that were killed this week, we had somebody lost here in Ohio, and he come on, he said, well, now we have to bring them home. But you see, that's the tragic part of it. You know, it's too late for them. I hope you'll continue taking a stand, but, you know, please take your stand, and maybe we can help somebody else from being hurt.
Well, hopefully it doesn't take a lot of the people as it happened with... Well, your family knew better than to be where it was, except for taking a patriotic stand of what he was doing, your son. But people today are so ignorant, they're just blind to it. And even if you pull the information up, bold-faced, blank, right in front of them, no, that can't be true.
Well, I have a 21-year-old granddaughter and a 17-year-old grandson, and I had hoped we would have left them a future, but now they're going to have to face the same thing with this draft. Don't have to fight just like...
Yeah, I understand. I've got three right behind them that are headed right there. I'm assuming due to the fact of the scenario of what's going on. But I'm, well, I was able to touch a senator's hand yesterday and hand him, I've got, you know, paperwork that says Made in America AIDS, and I've got the other microplasma bacteria that back it right up, and they're putting in our chemtrails, so I hand them that paperwork and saying, why are you killing us, and why aren't we getting prepared for the disaster that's coming at us through the Jane McKinney science tells the Planet X is going to be here in about 3.5 years, so we've got natural disasters. Why aren't we putting food away and building disaster shelters instead of going to war? And they just look at you and they think, oh, well, you know, you're a nut or something. But
no, they do.
They threw the paper out, but I went around and gave it to everybody else around and gave everybody a big speech, and that's all we can do.
You have to stand. We have to take our stand. It's commanded of us. We have to do it.
That's right.
And it's not easy.
No, it isn't. No,
somebody don't want to leave their comfort zone.
My credit card is at 95.93% interest. Is just one of the interims that they, you know, as you become a whistleblower, they start hitting you on your back. My house has been doubled in assessment, and yet it's fallen in. You know, I can go on and on.
I'm sorry for your traumatic situation.
I truly am. But please take your stand.
Well, God bless
you. Best you can.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Okay, we'll move to Arnie in Texas. Welcome to the broadcast. Arnie, are you there?
Yeah, it's Ernie.
Ernie, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's no problem at all. Anyway, fellas, you brought back some tremendous memories, because I followed this since the very, very word go, and even planned to move to Rhodesia at one time.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, Eon Smith, I followed him from the beginning. But I made the statement that when South Africa betrayed Rhodesia, it would just be a matter of months before they would fall also.
That's right.
What do you think about that?
That's true.
And I think the darkest day in American history is when we had the ticker tape parade for Nelson Mandela.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Huh?
Good for you.
Yeah. Can you get darker than that, buddy?
Good for you.
I mean, and you know who brought this on? Every bit of this was caused by the United States of America and the United Nations.
Absolutely.
Every bit of it.
That's right.
The State Department implements the U.S. missions to the United Nations. The State Department is all over the world, and they're answerable to no one.
To no one. Oh, the State Department especially. It doesn't even change when presidents change.
There you go.
But I have a library of books, and you can go in and you can find anything. And then there's a man on the radio today that every day he's proving that the attack at 9/11 was government planned and carried out.
And we've had a history of Pearl Harbors, and that's just another one.
Well, since we burned the Reichstag, you know, one thing about human nature, it never changes.
Well, we don't learn from history, that's for sure.
Well, but the public doesn't know a thing about history.
I know it. Furthermore,
they couldn't care less. I have a stock analyst, I call him Amos, that writes a very interesting book. He's really a genius. I love the guy. And he said, we're in a period of apathy today that has never been equal in American history.
Ouch.
Now, he's talking about stocks and investments and government.
Well, I'd like to mention this, if I may, please.
Please.
You know, the Americans, other Americans that went to serve in the Rhodesia, as John did eventually, did find one another. And they have a logo. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. They call themselves the Crippled Eagles.
No, I don't hurt this.
Yeah. And I have that. And then I'd like to read a tribute here. We have some tributes in the back of the journal. And this is from a Vietnam veteran who served in Rhodesia as a medic and went without a scratch, realized he'd been sold out. And he went to Rhodesia to serve, and he wrote this to us. He was put in John's place as a medic. He got there right at the time of John's death. He says, there are very few people in this country who can see through the smokescreen the mass media throws forth and put the real picture together. This is written the 3rd of January, 1978. Even fewer yet will sacrifice their time and risk their lives in doing what they believe is the right thing. Without trying to inflate my own ego, I'd say John and I were two of these individuals. When I was blown up, I was serving with 2 Commando RLI, Rhodesian Light Infantry, the same unit John was with when he was killed. I can't count the number of people who have asked me if I had known John Coey, and several said we were alike in many ways. I took this as a compliment because everyone I talked to had nothing but great respect and admiration for your son, and I was very proud to fill his place for a while. Now, this was Keith Nelson from Sycamore, Illinois. He stepped on a landmine, lost both legs.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on, got artificial legs and went on to be a doctor.
God bless him.
Tragedy.
Boy, he paid, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Well, I have on the wall here in my office a picture of another great loser, Robert E. Lee.
John quoted from him in his journal.
Did he really?
Oh, yes.
You know, this was a man.
Ernie, hold on. We'll keep you over on the commercial pause. We'll keep you over and we'll wrap it up with Ernie and Phyllis Coey listeners. The book, A Martyr Speaks, the journal of the late John Allen Coey, will be available at the network. You have to purchase it next week, listeners, and read it cover to cover. Stay with us. We aren't finished with you, Phyllis. We're going to do this some more. Chapter 23, Why Oppose Communism, dated 23 January 1974. Why am I against communism, and what is wrong with it? Communism has murdered an estimated 35 million people since this 1917 revolution. It has destroyed the souls of millions more by denying them the knowledge of Christ. It threatens Western and Christian civilization the world over. Ernie, your comments.
Well, so that is absolutely true, and I have a library in which I've got just practically everything you could ever have on communism. Dr. Schwartz came out with a little newsletter about 50 years ago that he sends out every month, and I've kept every single one of them for the last 30 years, and I want to tell you that's the best thing on communism that I have ever found. And he said, sum it all up, he said, you can never trust a communist.
Oh, man. You're right.
By the way, I wonder how many of our senators lean in that direction.
Well, and if anybody wants to question communism, just tell them to go to my website. Go to the very top of the website on the left, Communism, a Conspiracy, and you'll see right in there that communism is a conspiracy. It's in the U.S. Code to destroy the government of the United States. It's right there. Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. And that's just the first sentence of a paragraph explaining communism, listeners. And this is the problem, Ernie, isn't it?
Well, it is. We had a congressman called Martin Dies from Texas, and he tried to warn FDR way back, before all this communism business started. And he said, well, Martin, don't worry about it. Some of my best friends are communists. Now, that's a fact that came up. I don't think it was an Iron Curtain over America. That's one of the early books.
Who was the big victor of the Second World War?
Russia.
There you go.
Well,
there you go.
Now, we went to war to save all these people. Okay, mm-hmm. So when we signed the treaty at Yalta, we gave away Latvia, Lithuania, Poland,
mm-hmm.
all the Balkan nations. We gave them to a far worse enemy than Hitler ever thought of being.
There you have it.
Who's the number one anti-communist in all of history?
I give up.
Adolf Hitler.
Good point. Good point, because Hitler and Japan, they signed a pact in 1936 to fight the international Comintern.
You got it.
Japan and Germany were fighting communism.
Who declared war against did we declare war against Germany, or did Germany declare war against us?
I think England declared war against Germany.
No, but I'm asking the question between the United States and Germany. Who did the declaration of war?
Did we?
No, Hitler declared war against the United States a few days after Pearl Harbor.
That's correct.
And, you know, that's something that's lost in the history book. But the Americans are not interested in history.
They aren't taught history in school.
Exactly.
It's global studies today, isn't it?
Well, it's social studies.
There you go. That's true.
Black history. I could name you a bunch, but my mind's a fog right now.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I certainly appreciate your participation today.
Oh, yeah, I love this, Phillips.
Well, thank you for calling.
Just love you to death. You brought up memories I hadn't thought about in so many years.
Well, I think you and I have the same library.
And I have these original tapes that I taped during all that confrontation with Rhodesia down here in a drawer.
Leave your phone number at the board, would you, Ernie?
I'll be glad to.
I'd like to speak to you.
I'd love to speak to you.
Thank you, Ernie.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you letting me join you.
Wonderful. Very,
thank
very
you.
Good.
Take care now.
Thank you very much. Phyllis, thank you.
Oh, you don't have anything to thank me for. I have everything to thank you for.
Stay tuned for John Stadmiller, listeners. He's coming up next.
Okay, I hope the book will help us out a little bit. I don't have the money, but hopefully the book will help you all out there with the station, and that's my widow's mite for you.
We'll get it done, Phyllis.
All right.
God bless you. And God bless you all, listeners. Good evening.